The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Los Angeles Rams Super Bowl parade. What's the preferred parade route, Sarah? Spain?
Well, Stuart, Santa Monica's gonna be jammed. They're gonna take Pico and take a left on Alvarado by the Vaughn
Pavilion. Well, I think you've got something here too.
South.
What are you doing here?
What do you say? It's just I think you have no idea what they're doing.
Right, okay.
That's no, fun. But I enjoyed it, though. That was awesome.
Saturday Night Live again for California.
We're going to do that. That's a lot of fun. We're going to have some fun later. We start with a story that is no fun at all. Major League Baseball. Winter from hell from baseball continues. The U.S. versus former Angels Director of Communications Eric Kay. The defense's turn today. Kay charged with distributing opioids and causing the death of pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Fallout from yesterday's testimony, multiple players, including Matt Harvey, admitting drug use and brazen drug availability in a baseball clubhouse. Harvey testifying that Skaggs told him he would crush up and snort pills on the toilet dispenser in the clubhouse bathroom. Another piece of testimony from Harvey that Skaggs wanted to pitch loosey-goosey and Harvey would provide him 6 or 7 Percocets. National panels, sports leagues, and baseball specifically have been rocked by drug scandals in the past. While our national view of drugs has evolved to some degree, our national crisis with opioids rages. June Lee, what does baseball have here?
Well, Major League Baseball has to confront this problem head on because, as Terry Collins talked about yesterday in regards to Matt Harvey, people around the sport know that this was happening. And so it makes me wonder if this is just the tip of the iceberg and Major League Baseball needs to get to the bottom of it, because this is 4 players who are legally had to come to the stand to talk about what was happening. It wasn't out of their own volition. It wasn't because, you know, they had gotten over their problems. This is something that is continuing to happen in the sport of baseball, according to the testimony of these players. And so there needs to be kind of a deeper dive into what is happening in the sport in its relationship with opioids.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, I want to take a step back for a second. I think about, like, soldiers who came back from Vietnam addicted to drugs and how the country responded to that. I think about the crack era and how the country responded to that. And now the current opioid crisis. We've talked about this before, Tony. This country has always struggled with how it talks about and how it acts on addiction. And now this story is on Major League Baseball's front doorstep. It's not just about the fact that Kay may have given Skaggs the dose that killed him. It's about the fact that a team employee is giving players actual drugs. And you mentioned the fact that, you know, they crushed up pills and snorted it off a toilet seat. This is what addiction looks like. And this is what Major League Baseball has to deal with. And with the league that's already locked out, with the league that's already far behind culturally, behind baseball and football, a case and a trial of this magnitude is crippling.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I mean, I think we dealt with this at least a little bit a couple years ago with the NHL and enforcers' addiction to painkillers, the desire and the need to be available and to be able to be out on the court, the ice, the field. And now we're seeing it make an appearance here in baseball as well, whether it's recreational or whether it's opioids. This is obviously a crisis. And, you know, June brought up Terry Collins. That's another aspect of this for me. Beyond the tragedy that happened to Skaggs, what we're also now dealing with is Matt Harvey having to legally come forward and speak about this, and Terry Collins choosing to speak to the New York Post, choosing to speak to radio stations, and air out what appear to me to be personal confessions to their mental skills coach and others within that team that I don't think it's his right to speak about. And that will discourage players from going to seek help about anxiety, about depression, about suicidal ideologies, and potentially about addiction issues. I think there needs to be a better handling of this, both as it's happening and after the fact with stuff like what Collins is doing.
And Woody Page.
I want to respond to June. You were talking about baseball needs to address this subject. Baseball's too busy trying to cut 188 minor league players from their system, cutting teams that are in the minor leagues, of not trying to get at a table with the Players Association and settle the problem of whether there's going to be a season. Do you really think that the commissioner and the owners are going to say, oh, let's stop everything and concentrate on the opioid problem? That's not going to happen whatsoever. I know in the case specifically of C.J. Krohn that he continued to do the opioids and admitted it after he left the Angels and when he was with his next team. I wonder, the Colorado Rockies just signed him to a pretty strong contract, I thought, $9 million. Really, did he stop it then, whether it's going forward? So there should be an investigation, just like there is supposedly of Bauer and his problems, but yet baseball seems to just want to move everything under the covers and just go on as nothing is happening.
June, I'll allow you back in.
Yeah, Woody, and I think this also speaks to a greater issue of how baseball deals with mental health and the conversations it has around anxiety and depression, because, you know, I've talked to players who have struggled talking about these issues in the past and have turned to substances to deal with them, whether it's alcohol or other things as well. And so there needs to be a larger conversation, I think, in the sport of baseball and talking about the culture, about how players can be open about these and generate trust within the clubhouses and within management in dealing with these issues, because this is a lot of young people who are on high profile, you know, platforms playing the sport of baseball, making millions of dollars. There's a lot of pressure on them, and a lot of them don't feel like they have the outlets to talk about these things properly.
Isn't that what you were talking about before, Sarah, with Harvey and what we're hearing, that some of the, it was, whether it was confidential or whether it was a trusted information he was giving to a franchise, and they have that information now, and now we're hearing about it in the New York Post or on radio shows. Right. I mean, there's the loss of a life here, Sarah, and I think we need to also put that full frame here. Tyler Skaggs lost his life here with his disease, with his addiction. Sarah, last word.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it brings us back to a conversation that we unfortunately have to keep having, which is to say that just being talented and wealthy and famous does not absolve you of the humanity that comes with all of the expectation and the pressure and the criticism and the fans and your mentions and everything else. Like, there are athletes very clearly trying to deal with that in unhealthy ways that need to be addressed.
Justin, what you said rings really true for my ears as well. There is a stigma with drugs in this country.
Yeah.
But there's also a stigma in how we talk about the disease of addiction. And that's in play in this story as well. I believe this is an underreported story. The tragic loss of life was reported of Tyler Skaggs initially. But what we have now here, the U.S. versus K. This is Major League Baseball. As you said, Woody, in the middle of labor unrest and everything that's going on the front pages, and an enormously important story. We're going to move on now. Celtics 135, Sixers 87 last night. Another huge blowout in the NBA this season. And the win was Boston's ninth straight. They won by 48. A few months ago, I was told on this very show it was time to break up the Celtics. That was after Marcus Smart was talking about how Tatum and Brown don't want to pass the ball. And we're proud of them, but they have to learn. Sarah Spade, how do you evaluate now what Boston is doing?
We talked about this on the show months ago, and this was about effort. We were told repeatedly, this is about effort. And now we have a team that's excelling in one of the biggest effort categories, which is defense, second best defense in the NBA. A couple minor moves at the trade deadline, their big pieces playing better together. And here we have a team all of a sudden winning nine straight, winning three straight, I think, on the road of 30 points or more. Yeah. It's incredible. I would like to see if this maintains, if they suffer a couple losses in a row. There was some butting of heads and some accusations of ball stopping and et cetera. Does this attitude, this approach to the game, this effort on defense continue even when they're not on a hot streak? That's what I need to see to know that this is for real. But it feels like a lot of what we were hearing from the beginning of the season was fixed just by guys getting their heads right into the game.
Woody Page.
Well, Sarah's right about the defense that they're playing in Boston. They're either first or second in the entire league. But let's talk about the offense a little bit. Over a 12-game stretch, winning 11, they have outscored teams by 21 points, an average of 21 points. That, and as Sarah pointed out, they've been averaging 39-point victories in those three road games. This is a team that is playing incredibly well on offense also, and it was a shame for them that they lost Smart to an ankle injury last night, because he, as we talked about months ago, we thought he was one of the problems. He's been one of the solutions there. And, of course, Tatum and Brown have got together in their summit and kind of settled their problems, and they're throwing the ball to each other on occasions, passing, and I think they're doing it. This is a team that this is a team that actually is just a breath away from being fifth and could actually move into the top four and have a home court advantage.
Jun Lee, what are we seeing from Boston now? How are you evaluating them, and are they now back to being a contender?
I mean, they've made a lot of strides offensively because where Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown go, the Celtics are going to go. But the big thing that has changed for them is that since Christmas, they are the number one defense in the NBA right now. And that is taking a pressure load off of Jaylen Brown and off of Jason Tatum. They're getting contributions from guys like Grant Williams, who's hitting 44% from three in the corner, creating more space for them. He's been a big defensive piece for that entire team. And then the addition of Derek White, who's a solid guy off the bench, is a guy who can distribute the ball. They're starting to buy into Ime Udoka's system, and he's showing why Brad Stevens chose him to be the new head coach and his successor as the leader of the Boston Celtics.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, it's just a testament to how long the NBA season actually is. Just a few weeks ago, we were talking about break up the Celtics, as you said, now they're the hottest team in the NBA. The last three road games, they've outscored teams by 116
right.
points.
But how last real night- is it? I mean, look at the schedule, I believe, trademark Woody Page when I yeah. say that. This hasn't been the toughest run through team, but they beat Philly last night. Yeah. That's a tough part of the schedule. But how real is this run?
I mean, look, you can only play the teams that are in front of you. We could say the schedule may have been lax, but look, sometimes teams only need confidence, and this team has a lot of confidence. Tony, they hit 25 threes last night. Philly only hit 23 field goals. Everybody's been talking about this Boston defense. If you play good defense, you give yourself a chance to win, and I think a large credit of that goes to Ime Udoka. He's going to get a lot of Coach of the Year votes if they continue playing like this. And honestly, 9 out of 10 ain't bad. 11 out of 12, 9 straight. Because their big rival out west, they would love to have a winning streak like this. And so, yeah.
Yeah, 11 out of 12 is not bad, Justin.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Sarah, you have the last word?
Yeah, I mean, it's just too bad James Harden gets in the building and they immediately get whooped. I mean, it's his first game with the team. He rings the bell that he has to watch that happen.
Look at you. You're having too much fun with that. Coming up, we're going to talk Super Bowl. I got to get to your picks from the Super Bowl. Sarah, hold your hands up for a second like you're a doctor and you're reporting for duty right over here. Just hold them up. Let me see something. I want to see something. Other way around. Oh, I think you know what's happening here. We'll get back to what's going on in Sarah's. I see an X on your head, Sarah, from the Super Bowl party.
Super
Bowl fan.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Fire cell on the other side.
Use permanent marker for that thing. Very efficient.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
We began the show talking about the troubling winter for Major League Baseball, now the Olympics. What began with the grave dissonance of the IOC granting China the games amidst globally recognized human rights violations and the genocide and torture of Uyghur population and hostility against Tibet. The competition itself plagued by controversy. Here's not even a complete list in the last 10 days. Scoring mistake affecting gold in slopestyle. A uniform dispute. An allow and then don't allow in ski jump, which pulled competitors out of the competition. The snowboard change up on the board for logos or no logos, which is affecting equipment of people who are competing dangerously on ice. And most notably in world news, the allowing of Valieva to continue to compete in figure skating after a positive drug test. She's set to skate and is favored for gold 12 hours from now. Sarah, I know you love the Olympic Games. How are these Olympics coming off to you?
I'm finding joy in the stories that I usually do, the Lindsay Jacob Ellis, the Nathan Chen, those stories that are coming to fruition after years of hard work. But I'm having trouble because the cognitive dissonance required to enjoy it, despite all of what you just mentioned about China hosting, can only be possible if we don't also have to suspend disbelief about how the rules are being handled. It has to feel fair. It's happening hours and time zones away. It's happening in sports we aren't super familiar with and with athletes that we're just learning their stories about. If we don't even think they're operating in a clean competition, I think they risk people being invested in it. And that's the entire Olympics, is us becoming invested in people and stories that we're just learning because we know they've spent their lives working toward it. And it's not fair if the rules aren't.
Woody, you've covered over a dozen Olympic Games. Of course, you're not there for these games, but have we lost the essence of the Olympics in these games?
Yeah, I've been watching every night trying to look at it from a different perspective than I did as a journalist. And we're not identifying with the athletes. There have been great stories in the past about athletes from other countries. I'm not feeling that at all, or about those in this country. No identification. I don't think the setting is very nice when you're seeing a nuclear reactor in the background of the ski jump. And I just don't feel the excitement or the interest that I have in previous Olympics that were held, you know, in Norway or in European countries. It just doesn't feel the same.
Jun Lee.
Well, I think Sarah touched on it, but there's a larger existential crisis that the Olympics are facing, is that the novelty of seeing people from all around the world is kind of gone because of the internet. Like, you see people from other countries all the time just by opening up TikTok or opening up YouTube. And on top of that, the Olympics have had so much kind of control over the video footage, where people can't post things on social media sharing their excitement about the events. The Olympics are operating in this kind of different paradigm in the media landscape, and I think it's failing to generate the type of organic media interest that you want from a sporting event.
That's certainly, it could be part of it, but there's an entirety here. I mean, there have been successful Olympics in previous runs with bad time zone differences for this country, right? These games, Justin, are they different? Is this a disaster? You've got multiple scoring controversies.
Yeah, whenever controversy outweighs your product, it's never a good thing. You just mentioned some of the BAFs. Like, skaters testing positive for steroids. Shikari Richardson's response to that. The women's ski jumpers and their boards. Like, if it wasn't evident before, it's clearly evident now. There's no trust between these athletes and these Olympic committees, whether it's American or international. And honestly, the athletes suffer more from that than the actual governing boards.
Should there be any trust for the Olympic governing committees, though? I mean, I think the track record there would suggest no. Thanks for your thoughts on that. We're going to move on now. Rams Super Bowl parade today. It was very Los Angeles. You may have heard that they were going to change the Hollywood sign to try to make it say Rams House. Did anybody see this? What do you see there? Did they stick the landing? I don't know if they got Rams House in there. While L.A. flaunted it, Cincinnati began to nurse it a little bit more. News from Cincy today that it was a sprained MCL for Joe Burrow on the tackle that he played through the last couple of possessions. He's now, of course, going to rest and heal. Woody, our yearly parade question. Who's more likely to get back to the Super Bowl, those Rams or those Bengals?
Usually the losers of the Super Bowl sort of drift back. I'm going to go with the Bengals, however. I think Joe Burrow's got an incredible future. Obviously, anybody that watched him, that's still a younger team that's now experienced it. The Rams are going to lose a lot of free agents. They put this team together for a one-year run.
Sarah Spain?
I am tempted to say the Bengals because of the magic, but I think some of that magic doesn't maybe come back, and they still have to address that offensive line. Joe Burrow's been sacked 19 times just in this playoff run. They got to figure that out, or he's going to get hurt again like we just saw. So I got to go Rams. More good players there.
Justin Tinsley.
Surprise, surprise. I'm going with the Bengals, and here's why. They have draft picks and they have money. They have the fourth largest cap spread in the league, $48 million. Every single penny of that needs to go to the offensive line.
And Jun Lee.
I'm also going to go with the Bengals because I think their problems are really easily identifiable, that offensive line. You just put all your draft capital, you put all of your financial free agent capital into that. And then you have Joe Burrow, who I think is one of the generation's best quarterbacks, and that's something that you can't find.
One of the generation's best, but the other generation's best also live in his conference, right? He's got to go through Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson every year, and who knows, you know, who's going to bubble up after that. That's a tough one.
Where am I?
Oh, Woody, I'm so happy you asked. Only one panelist on the show accurately predicted the Rams to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Woody Page gets the bonus. Going the wrong way, Sarah Spain, Justin Tinsley, and Mr. June Lee. But enough for June Lee to advance with Woody Page. Sarah, one last time. You went to Super Bowl parties. You're still wearing the marking on the hand.
Yeah,
let's see. There it is.
Listen, it's a badge of honor that I apparently never comes off.
I had to bet one panelist would still be wearing the magic mark on the head. It would be Spade. Paige Lee, showdown, next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Woody Page, June Lee, good luck in showdown. 500 goals for Sidney Crosby. Not in a game. That would be a record or something. Kenny Mainline. But anybody know how many 500 goal scorers there are now in the NHL history? If you do, give your answer in showdown. June, what does 500 mean for Sid the Kid?
Well, he's not a kid anymore because he's the eighth player in NHL history to score 500 goals and have multiple MVPs and multiple titles on top of two gold medals and two playoff MVPs. So,
he's obviously one of the greatest ever. He is a kid. You have forgotten. But there have been 45 NHL players that have gotten to 500 goals. But guys, get back to me.
Yes.
More than 600.
He is the 46th. You got the trivia right, Woody, and did a good job giving his resume, but he's always Sid the Kid. We're gonna move on. Showdown two, better way to win a game. We saw some great ones last night in college basketball. Half quarter, like South Carolina beat Ole Miss in overtime. Put back dunk, like Duke beat Wake. Could have been offensive goaltending. Or players going into the stands rather than having fans going onto the court. It's a reverse storm. Tennessee over Kentucky. Woody Page?
As someone who has played on that court in the past, I have to say there's a reason why Tennessee is called Rocky Top. They have class. They know that you don't bring people down. You go up and be with the people.
Mm-hmm. June Lee?
I like the half court shot just because it's something that feels kind of accessible. Like, I could never dunk, so this is something I could at least imagine that I could do one day.
Walking into the stands is the most accessible thing you can do. Woody Page, is that three straight wins in a row consecutively?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, there you go, Woodrow.
Hat trick. I spent an entire season watching the NFL and holding penalties. And I thought, what is the difference? Is it up this year? Yes, it's up over 200. It's gone up from the late 400s to the late 600s. There's got to be something done about holding penalties. I would eliminate them, but they should be reduced to 5 yards because they make such a difference, and we want to improve the offense in the NFL. Address that.
Eliminate them?
Improve the offense?
Eliminate them?
See you tomorrow.